It's all a sinister form of male manipulation. You get colonized. Your native culture gets driven out, and it's replaced by stuff that you don't like and that you don't even want to know about.
Previews of coming attractions.
Welcome back to Sunday Night in Cinema 3. New in theaters this week, picking up the scraps left by Black Panther, is an interesting science fiction film called Annihilation, starring Natalie Portman and Oscar Isaac. It's based on a novel about a group of scientists exploring the mysterious Shimmer, a strange zone of seemingly alien mutations that has appeared on the American coastline and is rapidly expanding. It's the new picture from Alex Garland, who wrote 28 Days Later and wrote and directed Ex Machina a few years ago. I saw it this afternoon, and it was a pretty fascinating film, part of a trend of cerebral science fiction, like Denis Villeneuve's Arrival or Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. This one feels more like Apocalypse Now if it was set on the island from Lost. As with last week's Black Panther, the production design and performances are the most obvious highlights, but the score is also very memorable. The ending is a bit overly neat for my liking. There is a common device in science fiction films to raise the stakes ridiculously high and then neatly wrap everything up in the last 10 minutes, but it is still well worth the journey to get there. And who knows, you might enjoy the ending more than I do. I can understand directors and screenwriters not wanting to pitch a film which depicts the potential extermination of the human race that also has a dark ending. I highly recommend it in any case. Which is more than I can say for the two other new wide releases this week, Every Day starring Anguri Rice and Game Night starring Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams. Both of them look okay, and I probably will catch them on Netflix one day, but I don't see any reason to watch them in a theater. I don't ordinarily go into streaming release dates here on the podcast, but this week was a big one, with the release of Thor Ragnarok and Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, both debuting a few weeks before their DVD releases. I will definitely be buying Thor when it comes out. It was one of the most fun films I saw last year. If you heard the podcast last week, then you know how much I loved Martin McDonagh's first feature-length film, In Bruges. Three Billboards is his third feature film, and I've heard nothing but good things about it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. In limited release this week, the most interesting-sounding film, for me anyway, is called November. It's a black-and-white horror film set in Eastern Europe about a peasant girl who wants to win the love of a peasant boy by killing the wealthy young woman that he's in love with. It won an award for cinematography at last year's Tribeca Film Festival, and if nothing else, I recommend you look up the trailer to see why. Also in limited release this week is a more conventional-looking horror comedy called Are We Not Cats, about a young man who has lost everything but meets a woman who seems to share the same unusual practice as him, that is to say, eating hair. New on home video this week are Daddy's Home 2 with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, which frankly I would rather eat hair than see, and a film festival favorite called The Florida Project, starring Willem Dafoe, which does look splendid, but I doubt that I'll want to own a copy.
Previously on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
10 years ago in Cinema 3, it was the second week where I had a rerun, and they presented The Bucket List again. Much as I did at the beginning of the year with One Missed Call, I anticipated this mainly by keeping an eye on the movie listings online, and assuming correctly that once a film got sent to Cinema 3, it wasn't going to move again before it left the theater entirely. So, once again, I took my PSP preloaded with a copy of the Japanese horror film Uzumaki, which is based on a favorite manga of mine by the same name, by the artist Junji Ito. I don't remember much of the Uzumaki film, if I'm honest. Watching it on a tiny screen on a portable video game console while another movie plays on the big screen in front of me seemed like an amusing novelty and potential coping mechanism. My old friend Dan pointed out to me in a comment on the original blog post that if I was going to do a project like Cinema 3, it felt to him a bit like cheating for me to bring a backup of some kind to entertain myself in the event of a rerun. And I had to agree with that. So week 8 was the last week that I used the PSP, but it was far from the last time that there would be a rerun. If you listened to last week's episode, you may recall my story about how my web server crashed a little under 10 years ago, and while I was able to restore most of it at the time, I did lose a few of the blog posts and unfortunately Dan's very timely comments. I suppose I could try my luck with the Internet Wayback Machine. That didn't occur to me at the time because it wasn't way back at the time, but perhaps it would work now. If it does, I'll restore the old posts and I'll let you know.
Intermission.
Last week in the intermission, I started to talk about favorite movie-going experiences, and seeing Annihilation made me think about how, for me at least, several of my favorite experiences have been ones in which I felt as if I had walked into an alien world. The improvements made in digital effects in even the last decade have allowed us to visit Mars with Matt Damon as easily as we might visit the corner shop. And while those effects are often used to thrill us with scenes of planetary destruction, they can also present something inspiring, like the Afrofuturism of Wakanda in Black Panther. So what have been your favorite places to visit at the movies? What cinematic world would you like to live in? Hogwarts, perhaps, or Pandora, or the world from Blade Runner? Tweet at me with your answers at SundayNightInC3, or visit SundayNightInCinema3.com to comment on this episode, or find the show's social media links.
And now, our feature presentation.
This week's pull from my DVD collection is the original version of Fever Pitch, starring Colin Firth and Ruth Gemmell, directed by David Evans, based on Nick Hornby's autobiographical novel. Firth plays Paul Anderson, an English teacher who's obsessed with Arsenal, one of the top football teams in the English Premier League, which, for those of you who don't know, is one of the world's top soccer leagues. Arsenal had been a lovable loser of a team until 1971, when they won the Premier League, and they were trying to win it again in 1989 when the film is set. You may have seen the remake a few years ago starring Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, which transplanted the plot to the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series. The film jumps back and forth in time between Paul as a teenager of divorced parents, connecting with his father and male friends through football. As an adult, he's still obsessed with the team, going so far as to wear Arsenal boxer shorts. He watches every game with his best friend, played by Mark Strong. Ruth Gemmell plays Sarah, a straight-laced fellow teacher who can't stand his lack of professionalism, but does have to admit he is still Colin Firth, so she propositions him after a parent-teacher evening, and they embark on a relationship which neither of them expects to last long. When Sarah misses her period, though, they both have to make some serious decisions. I've never been a fan of a sports team as much as Paul is, but I have been a fan of soccer ever since watching the Italian World Cup in 1990, and after seeing Fever Pitch, I did jokingly start following Arsenal in the late 90s, watched a lot of their games on TV, and even bought a couple of their jerseys. I identified with Paul, hanging on to something he loved from his youth, but I also identified with his struggle to grow up just enough that he could sustain a functional adult relationship. In a way, it is another kind of coming-of-age film, but instead of a teenager experiencing sexual maturity, it's an adult male trying to level up his emotional maturity. There are plenty of films with this theme, of course, but both versions of Fever Pitch are unusual in that the emotional maturity that Paul seeks is tied to the breakthrough of his beloved team to winning a championship. Author Nick Hornby would revisit this theme again in his subsequent novel High Fidelity, about an obsessive record collector trying to understand why his relationships with women keep failing. In any case, Fever Pitch still holds up pretty well. It probably helps that it's set in a specific place and time that is still relatable, or at least it is, to an old man like me. If you enjoy stories of awkward broken people falling in love, I recommend it. Don't worry if you saw the remake, the original is deeper and more charming, and still worth checking out.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall, that's me, with much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/ScottMarshall. That's two T's, two L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.